Michael, good to be with you again. Photo Focus coming up next month. It's an annual event. I can't think of how many years it's been going on. You've been involved from time to time. Tell us a little bit about Photo Focus.
Well, actually, it's not an annual thing. It's a biennial. It's every 2 years. Started
correct.
2012 was the first year, and it's basically a festival of photography based in Cincinnati and the region. It extends out into the hinterlands as well, with exhibits and almost every gallery space you can imagine, and lots of sort of pop-up and temporary spaces. It's a great thing for photographers and also for the city, and I think is destined to bring quite a lot of attention to the city eventually, because it's got a really good bunch of people behind it and a lot of wonderful photo-related life that goes on around it.
Are you connected this year with some pictures?
I have a little involvement, and I have a part of a three-person show that will be at UC Claremont, curated by Saad Ghosn. And I also am part of a series of interviews with local photographers that were put together by Ann Siegel, who is herself a photographer. And there's going to be a show representing all of the interviewees. We'll have a few pieces that a gallery space, the project space on Woodburn Avenue. So yeah, there's two things I'm involved with, but mostly I'll be a fan and a visitor this year.
You're also involved with, actually the show is up right now and running through the 28th of this month of September at Iris Book Cafe. What's that one about?
That's a fun show. It's a collection of portraits of musicians from around Cincinnati, people I've photographed over the course of going back as far as like 1978, actually, some of them, up to as recent as a shot I did of Wussy this past year. So it's fun. It covers sort of my life in photography, and it's a lot of wonderful local musicians and a few photographs that are not of musicians but were used for their album cover. So I'm really happy about that show. It was a lot of fun to put together, and it'll be up through the 28th, and it's a good place.
Who was it back in the late 70s you were working with? And give us some other items along the way.
Some of the people that would be in the show include Wussy, Over the Rhine, Daniel Martin Moore, Pigmeat Jarrett, Steve Schmidt, lots of good people. There's about, I think, almost 30 pieces in the show. But one of the earliest pictures in the show was done when I was still a student at NKU, and it was of a band called The Customs, shot in an alley in Covington. So it's probably the most rock and roll of all my pictures.
So these are at the Iris Book Cafe on Main Street and Over the Rhine through September 28th. And also going on right now, but not locally, out in the West Coast, tell us about the show called Country, Portraits of an American Sound.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting deal. That was a show that surveys country music through photography, basically from the birth of country music in the 20s, 30s, and it ends with a couple of contemporary photographers, myself and a photographer named David McClister. So it's a great company to be in. It has some real heroes of mine in the show. Henry Diltz, who did like the Crosby, Stills, Nash covers you saw, Linda Ronstadt, Ethan Russell's in there, photographed Quadrophenia and toured with the Rolling Stones, and Henry Horenstein, who wrote the textbook that I studied from in way back in college as an incredible series of pictures of honky-tonks. To be included in that show has been a real treat, and there's a film, a documentary that goes with it that will actually be made into a feature-length documentary. And yeah, it runs through the 28th, and it's a handsome show, and it's a real honor to be part of.
Somewhat recently, you've been dabbling a little bit in video. Why did you decide to pick up a video camera?
Well, it really was prompted by the digital technology, the digital SLR cameras that most are sort of ubiquitous among sort of professional photographers. They became capable of shooting high-def video, so that put sort of idiot still photographers like me with the possibility of shooting video in a way that was really not practical before without having a lot of different equipment, more expensive gear or renting high-end gear. And so anyway, it was a lowering of the bar, I guess, in terms of like getting it started. So I had a camera that was able to shoot high-def video, and so I began sort of pursuing an interest in documenting musical performances, and these are all done in one take, so there's no editing involved. And it's been fun. We teamed up early on when the Requiem Project was working at the Emory Theater, so we had access to that space and had some great opportunities to shoot in that great acoustic environment. People like Ralph Stanley and Buddy Miller and Jim Lauderdale and lots of other people. It's a good time.
And it's got to be real gratifying, too, because there are times when you get to work with your son, Henry.
Yeah, because I have very few skills and certainly none in recording audio, I've been able to work with Henry and my son, and he's got really good ears as a way of capturing sound. So all I have to do is try to make an interesting picture, and then he captures the sound, and it's wonderful because it's very unlike the other photography I do where you make lots of pictures and you throw out most of it and just get one or two. This, once the moment starts, you realize, well, this is it. There's not a way to fix this. I guess it puts me more in the sort of like sympathize with the life of a musician or a performer because that's how they live their lives. It's like this moment and nothing else. So it's pretty cool and it's remarkable sometimes what happens when the sound and the picture goes together. It's usually the sum is greater than the parts.
We're visiting with Michael Wilson, photographer from here in Cincinnati. You worked on so many projects as far as record albums and CDs go. Who are some of the more recent ones you've worked with?
There's a new record by John Hiatt called Terms of My Surrender that it's a good record, and that'll be the third record of John's that I got to work on. That just came out, and that was a fun one because he came up to Cincinnati for it, so we got to shoot around here.
What locations did you pick?
Some along the river, Route 8, which is a place I've been sort of scouring a lot lately, thanks in part to another local musician named Jeremy Pinnell, who was living out there. And so when I was working with him, I got very intrigued by that part of town. Anyway, so we shot there. We shot, actually the cover was shot in my yard. So John just pulled up into the yard and we started right there.
That makes it easy.
I made it very easy. Yeah. And it's a great treat because that's not the way things usually go down. Usually it's a lot of people fretting and nervous, trying to figure out what's going to happen, how are we going to do this. And it was lovely because on a three-way phone call trying to sort out the shoot, I remember John said one of the best things he said. He told his management who was trying to line all these ducks up. He said, at this stage in my career, I demand serendipity. So he said, here's my plan. I'll drive to Cincinnati and I'll meet with Michael and we'll take pictures. So that worked out good. I got to work with Lucinda Williams recently. That record hasn't come out. I think it comes out end of September. And I know there's a Bernie Imes photograph, who's a great photographer from the Delta, who's a friend of Lucinda's, that shot the cover. But it was fun to do portraits of her. That's coming out. And there's a few others.
A couple of years back, you worked with Lyle Lovett once again for his album, I guess his most recent record called Release Me.
Yeah.
Can you tell the Out in the Desert story?
Well, yeah, on the Release Me record, it happened the way the last few Lyle Lovett records have happened, where we get together to photograph, but with no real plan. And in this case, we went to, it wasn't so much the desert, but it was an arid, dry Western landscape. It was the northern Texas, southern Oklahoma borderland where his horses are trained. And it was actually the Texas. It was the hometown of Gene Autry. I forget the name of it. Tioga, Texas. We are out there, and he had stuff to do with his horses, so let's just see if we can make some pictures while we're here. And the title track, which is the country standard Release Me, he thought maybe he could have like a giant cowboy he knew some could hold him from behind. And we were just thinking, we really didn't have any ideas. And then during the course of the time there, he saw somebody working with a rope they used to lasso. And so one thing led to another. I found a sort of a desolate place that was going to be a subdivision that never happened, just a sort of a bare road and a bunch of weeds. And I thought it'd be a good place to make a picture. And so Lyle put on his nicest suit and got the rope, and one thing led to another, and he wound up tied up on the middle of the desert there.
Michael, tie me up.
Yes, but I had to be careful because the suit was a good suit and couldn't get dirty. So I did good, I think.
He's a little bit particular about his clothing, isn't he?
Yeah, very careful.
We're talking with Michael Wilson. Michael has been shooting pictures around here and around actually the world for, I don't know, 30-some years now. We hear about Lyle Lovett, John Hiatt, and Lucinda Williams, but you've been working a little bit with some classical folks as well, too, on covers.
On and off, and especially through my association with Nonesuch Records, and recently was approached by a Japanese pianist, sort of independently of her record company, just who had seen my work. And so she did a recording of Debussy's Preludes on a strange piano that I'm sure you're classical listeners would probably understand, but it was a French piano called a Pleyel that was like the piano that Debussy would have played. And I guess it has a very different character than lots of other pianos. So it was a very strange and beautiful piano, painted deep red with all kinds of dragon motifs and gold leaf all over it. It was a really cool experience. And any time I get to be under a musician, around a musician who is so committed to their work, it's always inspiring, and no matter what kind of genre it is.
Larry Sparks. Recently.
Yeah, and that was a really big, happy thrill for me because he's a bluegrass musician that's originally from around here, born and raised in Lebanon, I think. Now lives in southeastern Indiana, but you know, he played with the Stanley Brothers. And early on, I remember he told me the story that after Carter Stanley died, he not only played Carter's guitar with the Stanley Brothers, but he didn't have nice shoes, so he wore Carter's boots as well. But great voice. If you haven't heard Larry Sparks, look him up. He's made famous that hit. Well, it later became a hit for the Judds called John Deere Tractor. Great singer, great voice. And so that was a real, real honor. And then locally, there's in the same field, the bluegrass, worked with Missy Werner and her new record, which is beautiful too. So all kinds of good music.
When you get a job, Michael, obviously you mentioned Nonesuch Records. So there, whoever the art director, whoever is familiar with your work by now. But discounting a record label itself, is it word of mouth? Does Lyle Levitt tell John Hyatt, or does Lucinda Williams see your work on Lyle's cover and then ask about you? And how did these jobs come about? A number of different ways?
The jobs come about, yes, in a number of different ways. And way less of a pattern than it used to. It used to be the jobs came from above, from record companies had art departments. Art departments had design directors that would like study photographers' work and try to match those up with the projects. That part of the business has gone away. Most record companies don't have art. There are a few creative directors, but my name gets thrown into that. It could be a manager. It could be the artists themselves. You could be a friend of the musician. It could be like the Hiroko Sasaki, the pianist that called me, just was out of the blue having seen some of the photographs I'd done. So, yeah, word of mouth. I think it's a lot harder for, you know, in terms of like trying to make a living, because it's not clear anymore who to try to approach to like offer your services to. Problem of the age.
Has there ever been a session where at the end of it you went, wow, am I glad that's over with?
Yeah. Maybe I should leave it at that. Definitely. And there have been times I've just been so anxious to get back to any place where I know I'm all right, because I've spent the last 6 or 8 hours just feeling like I'm anything but all right.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for spending some time and catching us up.
You bet. Thanks, Brian.
With photographer Michael Wilson, I'm Brian O'Donnell for Around Cincinnati.